When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And it's the final segment. Lots going on. We've covered local elections. We've covered local politics. And this final segment, we are going to go down to Washington, D.C., where things are shut down. Congresswoman Claudia Tenney's joining us. Congresswoman, welcome back to the show.
Well, great to be on. Good morning.
Obviously, all eyes on the government shutdown. What can you tell us on, I believe, day 10 of the shutdown?
11, 12. October 1st, officially. Look, we're just still waiting for the Democrats to come back to the table. They keep putting out, you know, false information, like we control the Senate. They know that there's a 60-vote rule in the Senate, and we only have 53. And so we need 60, and we need some of the Democrats to vote for Biden-era spending levels. The Democrats have now voted 8 times to shut the government down, except for 3 notable standouts. And this is exactly the same continuing resolution that Chuck Schumer voted on and a number of Democrats in March when we had to continue then. So it's really we don't like our spending. So we're going to, you know, hold the government hostage. We're going to not pay our troops. We're going to slow down our ability with TSA, air traffic controllers, and all that you've heard, slowing down the them not getting paid or being furloughed or laid off. And then you're seeing, you know, an incredible work by President Trump to actually save the WIC program, which is for needy families, for women and children, by using some of the tariff money to actually stand up the WIC program during this process. So who cares about the American people? It's President Trump and the Republicans. Who doesn't care and all they care about is politics? It's Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate.
On CNN, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, Nancy Pelosi said she tried to say that it wasn't a clean CR, and then she ignored the follow-up question. To be clear, this is just to continue spending so the debate the Democrats want to have can go on while the government is not shut down, correct?
Absolutely. They're intentionally inflicting pain because, as Chuck Schumer said, you know, he's arguing against himself. He said, the longer this goes on, the better it is for us. Well, I think the question we have to ask is, who is us? It's certainly not the people out there that are going to work, our military, our Homeland Security people, or everyone else who's going to work on the discretionary side of funding, which is what a shutdown is. These people are going to work now without getting paid. So it's about them. It's about the Democrats and about Chuck Schumer, you know, trying to come up with a way to put some air into the dying horrible, sick animal known as Obamacare, which is proving that it doesn't work. It's not affordable. It continues to need to be subsidized at really high levels to survive. And by the way, the least affected state of all the states in the nation, in all of the United States, the least affected by these so-called premium tax credits is the state of New York. So New York already has what, you know, expanded Medicare, Medicaid. They also have the Essential Plan, which, you know, basically is a New York State healthcare system that crowds out any competition. And the Essential Plan in New York is already spending $230 million on illegal immigrants getting healthcare, getting Medicaid, a premium form of Medicaid that the average working person doesn't have access to. And so it's really unfair. And we're just trying to say to New York, your error levels, your fraud, abuse, and waste are too high. Lower the fraud, abuse, and waste. Focus on American citizens. Focus on the people who are eligible under federal law. And streamline the system so that we can afford it. Really, we need to fix Obamacare, but there's not a will to do that because you don't have enough people that want to actually fix a broken system that has really put a huge separation between doctors and their patients. It has put insurance companies and government in between the decisions doctors need to make with their patients, which anyone who goes to the drugstore, anyone that goes to the doctor knows that you can't get certain prescription drugs, you can't get certain payments until a doctor who's a medical professional goes to and asks for permission from an insurance company that reads the chart and says, no, we don't think so, even though a doctor has examined you and said, this is what I think you need. This is my expertise. And this is the problem with Obamacare. It's made it about terrible health care for all, really what it is, and really making it difficult for our physicians. And there's so many mistakes and problems with it. But this is what the Democrats want. They want more subsidies for Obamacare to prop it up because it continues to fail. The lie of Obamacare from President Obama, our premiums continue to go up. We continue to get worse outcomes. We get less healthy people. It's not working. It's time to fix it. But it's not going to get fixed in the next few days if we continue to shut the government down and allow the Democrats to continue to inflict pain. But kudos to President Trump for finding ways. He just tasked the Secretary of Defense to find ways to pay our troops. Where can we find extra money so they don't suffer during this? And the other thing about this, when our troops aren't being paid, when we aren't allowing our troops to maximize their ability to do their job to secure our nation, our readiness is threatened. It emboldens our enemies across the world. These are all the terrible things that happen when you have a shutdown. And by the way, it was hard to get Republicans to vote for Biden-era spending levels, especially since there was no reduction or accommodation made for 5 years of COVID spending. So now we have got to find a way to get the Democrats to understand we will go and negotiate. We will try to help fix this system, but don't inflict the pain on the American people while you are out there thinking you're going to make, make videos and talk about how terrible the Republicans are. We voted for your spending levels in good faith. They are not acting in good faith. And I think that's the important thing that everyone needs to know.
What do you think about people like Senator Chris Murphy, who, I mean, this is a daily thing now. You know, he says that Democrats are standing up to authoritarianism, and that's why they're voting against the spending bill. I mean, I was told a few weeks ago we were going to lower the political rhetoric, and it just seems people like Chris Murphy aren't sticking to that.
Look, it never ends because they are facing a far left, anyone in the Northeast, especially near New York City. They're facing the far left, which is normalizing violence, normalizing assassinations of people who differ politically. You can look on Facebook pages. I just looked at some guy who's following me on my original or my my official Facebook page that has "Is he dead yet?" is in his profile, and also when I'm waiting for the great big beautiful obituary. So it's okay to kill people who you disagree with. It's okay to have extreme positions on all these things that the far left has done. Celebrating anti-Semitism, the Marxism that's coming from the Mondamis of the world. This is what the Democrats stand for. And Chris Murphy is an ugly example of that. You know, embarrassing senator, terrible positions on almost everything. But look, Chuck Schumer is doing the same thing. And he used to be somewhat of a practical guy. But he got slammed for voting for this CR from the far left back in March. AOC went after him. She's challenging him and winning by double digits. In a theoretical poll right now, if she were to challenge him. Hakeem Jeffries has now drawn a far-left anti-Semitic challenger, should he get challenged next year in his race. So this is what they're reacting to. It's not the American people. It's not the sensible thing. And I can't tell you how absurd it is when I hear authoritarianism. No president in American history, like President Trump, has actually reduced the size of the federal bureaucracy and the part of government that he controls. He was a subject of lawfare, abusive process, malicious prosecution, coordinated efforts using the most powerful intelligence and law enforcement agencies in our government, the most powerful in the world, against him to try to take him out as a candidate, to try to take him out while he was president of the United States, to hold up information, to impeach him. Look what just came out recently, information that intelligence agencies controlled by the Biden administration and actually under Obama held up and people that were leaning, were appointees, were holding up a critical piece of information on Joe Biden, trying not to have that information on the corruption with Burisma, the company that his son was getting, $80,000 a month for with no expertise, and the corruption that was going on in Ukraine, where the Ukrainian prosecutor was trying to actually do something about that. And Joe Biden bragged publicly. I got the prosecutor filed for shutting that down. Had that information come out, that information that we now know that was part of an intelligence briefing, had that come out, that would have been exculpatory evidence in the 2019 impeachment of President Trump. So where are the Democrats when we talk about authoritarianism? Authoritarianism is when you use government to try to prosecute people. And when people try to make an equivalence of what President Trump is doing with Letitia James, who I argue is probably the absolute worst public official when it comes to lawfare, abuse of process, targeting individuals. She's done it all over the state, not just President Trump. And for them to say that she commits mortgage fraud, violates her own law, rule where she said people cheat when they get mortgages. They know one is above the law. I mean, Letitia James should be held accountable. These people in our intelligence agency should be held accountable. President Obama should be held accountable. Jack Smith should be held accountable. All these people that engaged in malicious prosecution and lawfare against people of an opposing party should be held accountable. That's all we're doing. And President Trump will do that equally. He will not selectively prosecute or allow that to happen in his administration.
Speaking of attorney generals or wannabe attorney generals, you know, you talked about some of the stuff you see on social media, and, you know, it's awful. And then you've got a guy running for attorney general in Virginia whose text messages were released. And now you've got the candidate running for governor who won't withdraw her endorsement of this individual. Again, it just seems like it's fine if it's them. If it was the other way around, I mean, this guy, the media would be forcing him to step aside.
You know, the Democrats are closing their eyes to the reality of what their party base is. And you could see Abigail Spanberger, who serves in Congress, the same thing. She couldn't face Winsome Sears, you know, a person who served honorably as a Marine. She's the current lieutenant governor, you know, just an incredibly strong person. You know, they have to face the fact, and this is what's scary about this, that the positions they take demean human life, whether it's an extreme position on abortion, extreme views on tolerating religious violence, you know, the extremism you see with the Free Palestine movement. It's okay to kill people. It's okay publicly to be anti-Semitic. And yet the Democrats call Republicans Nazis and fascists. That is a left-wing ideology. That was something Mussolini started, and it's just gotten upside down with them. They defend human traffickers. People are trafficking innocent children in our country. People are trafficking drugs to our children in this country. They support euthanasia now. That's legal in New York and many blue states around the country. And now they're supporting political assassination, including what this attorney general candidate in Virginia has stood on. I mean, imagine revealing text messages. It's okay to give two shots to a guy that's a leader in a political party instead of Pol Pot. Or another violent criminal, a Nazi like Hitler. I mean, these people are way out of the norm, and the Democrats are accepting them, and they're unwilling to stand up to them. That's why the weak fecklessness of Chuck Schumer, of Kathy Hochul, of Hakeem Jeffries, and anyone who endorses Zoran Mandami, sorry, I got to get that out, in New York City for mayor, is weak. They're not standing up to a person who stands in complete opposition to everything our country stands for. Our country, our founding father, our democracy, as Democrats like to call it, our constitutional republic, is about freedom of speech. It's about human rights. It's about self-governance. It's about being able to go to the public square and debate and respectfully disagree. They do not accept respectful disagreement anymore. It's about violence. And that's where why them projecting that somehow we don't support free speech and we don't support fairness and accountability, they are actually projecting what they stand for. It looks like fascism. It's support of violence. It's really a scary time for the Democratic Party right now. And you see a couple notable exceptions. I got to say, I'm impressed with Senator John Fetterman for standing up. And he has said today in an interview, I'm standing alone. I'm isolated. Nobody wants to stand up for the truth. And I give him credit for doing that, and a couple other Democrats who actually came out of the shadows and voted and realized it was absurd what they're doing with holding up the government.
Final thing, the peace deal with the Palestinians and Israel, getting a lot of positive coverage over the weekend. We hear from the vice president that the hostages should be released in the next 24 hours. I mean, this is a pretty momentous moment for not only Israel and Palestine, but for the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible the type of situation that we're facing. Look, President Trump has done a brilliant job of getting everyone situated around the world. He did a trip to the Arab leaders, went to It was controversial, according to a lot of people. A lot of people, pro-Israel people, like, well, geez, why is he visiting these Israeli or these Arab nations? Why is he put the Abraham Accords together, which was, you know, absolutely incredible and brilliant. Let's get everybody to agree so that we can have peace and prosperity, and then go try to deal with the Palestinian-Israeli problem, which was brilliant. And it is one of the main reasons that I nominated President Trump. It is the reason I nominated him officially on the Nobel site. All these people claim they nominated him. They did not, because they didn't go to the site. I nominated him for a Nobel Peace Prize. Now, I think the prize has been given to people who are unworthy, but I nominated him twice now, and people are jumping on the bandwagon. If this deal works and we have phase one coming up and those hostages are released and we continue to see the rest of this historic deal carry out, which I'm skeptical because you can't trust Hamas. They're a violent, you know, organized crime organization that you know, profits off of bloodlust and killing and murder with no regard for human life. Let's see where they go with this. Let's see where Iran is. They're fairly isolated. So President Trump put all the players in place, again, using the Abraham Accords model and doing this. And I have to say one other thing, that I spent 10 days in Israel this summer. I met with Arab sheikhs that were in Judea and Samaria, which is otherwise pejoratively called as the West Bank. This is the homeland of the Jewish people, but there are a lot of people that are there, Arab sheikhs. They do not want a Palestinian authority in charge. They consider it corrupt. They want to see peace. They want prosperity. They want one Israel that's protecting them, that has the sovereignty to protect them with security. They want to have their own sort of quasi-sovereignty with their own Emirates-type model so that they can live side by side with their Jewish and Christian neighbors in that region and finally have peace and prosperity for their children. They're tired of war. They're tired of being used by these so-called Palestinian plight. You know, I call it the Palestinian plight industrial complex that is just making money off them. People like Yasser Arafat, who became a multi-billionaire, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, by the way, who murdered and killed Jewish people and, you know, caused war. But he won a peace prize. And I think it's really interesting to see what happens. But I want to say one of the important things is, and the Nobel Committee did award it to Marina Machado. She is the opposition leader in the Venezuelan government, which, you know, is very courageous of her to do. But I think was really interesting is she dedicated her award to President Trump. So you got to love that when somebody recognizes the work that President Trump is doing from a Nobel winner and the Nobel Committee saying they won't even award it to President Trump. I think we should do a new award, and that award should be the Trump Peace and Prosperity Award, because not only do we want peace, we want prosperity. And that's what I heard loud and clear when I met with people in Israel from all language, all you know, ethnicities and religions, about what they see as their future and what they would like to see for the Middle East, a once beautiful part of the world where peace and prosperity was happening to some extent, but a lot of innovations and great things coming out of our Middle Eastern friends over the history of humankind.
Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, always great talking with you. We'll talk again soon.
Great talking to you. Thanks so much.
That is Congresswoman Claudia Tenney, and that is Hardline for this Sunday, October 12th, 2025. My thanks to Erie County Legislator Frank Todaro, Bill Simon running for council in the city of Tonawanda, Josh Collins collecting signatures, also running for supervisor of Hamburg on a write-in campaign, Michael Jasinski, council member in Cheektowaga, and Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. If you missed any of the show, you can find it on demand at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. You can also listen to the replay tonight, 6 p.m. on News Radio 930 WBEN. I'll talk with you tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. We call it the Joe Beamer Show. Talk to you then. Have a great Sunday afternoon.